Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's good, fam? This your girl, Lady Low. You already know that. Right now, you're tuned into the ATS show, All Things Sports, on the D-Hour Radio Network. My mans and them, they hosting the show. C. Miller, Big Mike, they in the background right now laughing at me. I ain't messing with them right now. But, hey, we talk about sports. We interview athletes. We do all that, you know what I'm saying, every Tuesday evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're strong again this week with All Things Sports, Big Mike, C. Miller. Looks like we had a lot of stuff to cover this week. NFL, once again, all the college football championships, which I was right more often than Mr. Miller, but I'm just going to say that off the top. Also, a lot of baseball signings, a lot of stuff going on. So we're going to play a quick commercial break. We'll be back, and we're going to get right into the NFL like we always do at this time. So stay with us, and we'll be back.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Who are you? Who are you?
Hi, Mom. It's me.
For 25 years, with the help of people like you, the Alzheimer's Association has focused on preventing, treating, and finding a cure for Alzheimer's disease. To help, visit www.alz.org.
www.alz.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back again on All Things Sports. Looks like we only have an hour today, so we got a lot to get to in an hour. So once again, we're going to start off with the NFL. With the game of the week, at least in my opinion, the game of the week was last night. We saw the Bears, who, if I remember correctly, Mr. Miller put a fork in them last week, come out and show that they're not dead just yet. Mr. Miller, what did you think of that game last night?
Well, Bears fans, welcome back. Jump on the bandwagon. I still think you stick a fork in them. Did the defense make you think any different than you thought last week? You played the Cowboys. I mean, there's really not much to say other than you beat a bad team in the cold where they obviously didn't show up. I think the Monday Night Football crew pointed it out. There was defensive lineman after defensive lineman who nobody knows who they are. And, McCown looked good, I'll give you that. Forte did his thing, but I thought the defense looked really bad, and I think matched up against good teams, you're gonna still fall. Now, I know there's three games left in the schedule. I know they tied up the Lions for first place. I know my Lions schedule. I think we're going to win 2 out of 3 at the least. I mean, obviously I'm hoping for 3 of 3. But what do the Bears have ahead of them, and do you put them as a favorite?
We got the Eagles, we got Green Bay, and I'm not sure who the third team is, but
have you played Green Bay twice?
We played Green Bay last game of the season.
Oh, okay.
So, and then the week before that, we got the Eagles, and I can't remember who we have next week. But anyway, same deal. We probably need to win out because you guys have a tiebreaker. But don't. You sticking forks in people. Don't stick fork in them just yet, man.
Well, don't forget that you lost 2 to us in the division, so you're going to need to finish with a 1-game lead in order to.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. That's why we need to win out. So, all right. What was your game of the week, Mr. Miller?
Wow, game of the week. I mean, as far as excitement, I got to go to Baltimore, where at the end of that game was almost unprecedented. You had, I think, I can't remember the exact number of points, but you had, I think, 26 points down the stretch or 32 points or something like that. And Baltimore pulling that one out in the tight one. And I know, you know, I didn't watch much of that game. I was direct TVing all the way around the league on Sunday. And I did tune in for the end of that, and, man, I thought when Cordell Patterson went down and scored the long touchdown, I thought that was over. And then you had Baltimore come back, and I know a lot of games were exciting. Excitement-wise, I was going to bring up the Patriots game. And I'm ask you what you think about this. I know there's been some controversy with the pass interference penalty. And do you think it's time for the NFL to make that a 15-yard penalty? Do you like the spot value in favor?
We talked about that about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I'm in favor of 15 yards. I think the spot penalties, I mean, there's got too many teams just throwing the ball up and hoping for a pass interference a lot of times. That's not good for a ball. So, yeah, if you make it a 15-yard penalty, I think that significantly changes the passing game and kind of gives the defense an advantage. Because, as I told you, no legislation has been gone in the defense's favor and other than the one you pointed out in years. But, so, yeah, I think that would add a little more fairness to the game. So I'm in favor of that.
And that game, it brought around a few rule change things, too. I know with the Gronk hit, the Gronk goes down for the season. I'm sure most people have heard that. What do you think about them putting in a penalty for going low like that, or do you think that's something that they could even legislate?
Well, if they put in that penalty, then where's your target area? If you say you have to hit, like now you're talking about a defender trying to hit above the shin and pretty much below the neck area, like, that's not much of a target area for a defender. I mean, you're looking at a lot of penalties on defenders, a lot of fines on defenders, even more so than now if you make the target area less. I think the NFL, I mean, you know, granted, they were getting a lot of lawsuits, so they had to change something. But I think as far as knee injuries go, I think the NFL kind of made the bed with that. They'd rather have low hits than high hits, and that's what they got. It's been – not all of them are attributed to low hits, but there have been 42 ACLs blown out this year. That's crazy. So when you consider that, I think the NFL made their bed. Now they kind of have to lie in it.
And I agree. I don't think that's something that you can legislate. I think, I know a lot of people have tossed that out there, and I've seen the Gronkowski rule kind of in quotations. And yeah, I just don't think there's anything you can do. You got to be able to go low. It's unfortunate. I hadn't heard 42 ACLs. I don't know what that compares to to maybe the past 10 years in seasons. You know, a lot of those go down anyway. But, yeah, there's nothing they can do there. So I thought that was interesting. Another great game. I mean, not that it was a great game, but a game that I enjoyed watching was the Snow Bowl between Detroit and Philadelphia. And, man, did Detroit come out and lay an egg in the second half? You know, we played so well, stopped the run in the first half. Neither team could really throw it. We had one long one to Calvin, and that was about it. And, we came out in the second half and just really had nothing. And it was disappointing from a standpoint of not that it was a must-win game for the Lions, but it was a big game. And with a 14-0 lead, you'd like to see a team that's what I'm calling a playoff team. I'd like to see them be able to hold on to that lead. So, I'm starting to – I mentioned you off air. I'm starting to wonder about Schwartz. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he's a good ex-Bills guy. I just don't think he evokes the – I just don't think he's getting the best out of his guys because I think we both agree there's a lot of talent on both sides of the ball in Detroit. And a lot of the holes that we've had in the past years really have been filled. I mean, we kind of shored up the offensive line. The secondary is better, and we still continue to lose close games. So, I think a little falls on Stafford, and I think a little falls on Schwartz, but we'll see. I think we're gonna still overcome the last 3 weeks. Aaron Rodgers will be coming back to the Packers, is what I'm hearing. Not that I have any inside sources or anything, but I expect to see him back. I mean, he's been out almost 5 to 6 weeks now, and from knowing people that have had broken collarbones just in regular life, I think it's time he gets back. So, I don't agree with what some people are saying to sit him for the rest of the season and try to bring him back. It's football. Get back out there. You break it and end in the off season. So, so those were my interesting games of the week. A lot of good football.
Mine is Seahawks. Good football game. A lot of good defense. A lot of good running the ball. We don't see that a lot anymore in today's NFL. Frank Gore with the big run at the end to put him over the top. I know you had 2.5 on that one, and they only won by 2, so you probably didn't like it, but that was a good football game.
Kaepernick still looks bad.
Kaepernick still looks
That's starting to be the trend. I mean,
you said last week if we give him a few weeks, and you got to give him a few more weeks with Crabtree in the lineup, see how it looks. Because Crabtree doesn't look like he did last year, so, you know, I'll go for that. Just give him a couple weeks, and if they still look like this throwing the ball come playoff time, then they could potentially be one and done. So what do you let's talk about the mess in Washington a little bit. Is Shanahan trying to get himself fired? I've heard that a few times today. You know, him talking about bitching RG3 when he knows how tight RG3 is with the owner. I mean, is he trying to get himself fired? Is he trying to be defiant on his way out? Like, he knows he's going, but what do you think?
Yeah, he knows he's going, and that's kind of what the direction I was going to take that is. I think he knows he's getting fired. So I don't know if you look at the job in regular life. I guess if you know you're getting fired, why not have a little fun with it? So I think that's what he's doing. I mean, he's a lame duck, and the players are playing like it. He's coaching like it. And I think it's hard. I think the Redskins have put themselves in a tough position because they gave Shanahan the ability to hire his son and to fire Shanahan. Of course, the son's going to go with him and to overhaul the whole offense or to bring – I mean, who do you have call plays? They're pretty much stuck with him until the end of the season. I think that's a big reason why you haven't seen him go. I don't know. We'll see. If they have another lackluster performance, I can see him getting fired. But for some reason, I'm starting to think Dan Snyder's going to hold on to him for the rest of the year for whatever benefit that gives him. I don't know. But I feel like if he was going to get fired, he would have been fired yesterday.
I agree. Actually, I didn't think he'd make it through the day yesterday. And quite honestly, I don't think starting Kirk Cousins is a horrible idea anyway. If you play him, I mean, he's probably not – you're going to keep RG3 as your quarterback in the future, but if you play Kirk Cousins, at the very least, you kind of audition him for other teams. Maybe that one team that's looking for a quarterback might give you a few picks or a high pick for Kirk Cousins. Like, I don't think that's a horrible idea. I actually think it's a good idea because RG3 hasn't really looked like the type of person that should keep that job anyway. So if I'm Dan Snyder, I think I want to play Kirk Cousins for at least two of those last three games, wouldn't you think?
I see your logic there, and I think that's a fine thing to do. What's your gut feeling on Shanahan? Does he make it through the year?
Just for the reasons you kind of said, like, yeah, they would have to do, like, being that him and his son are going to walk together, they would probably have to do too much to get to finish out the season. But
if you were another NFL team, do you hire Shanahan? Or is his ship sailed?
I think if you got a ready-made team, you might want to hire him. If you got a team kind of like, you know, the Colts when they brought in Dungeon, you got a team that just needs a coach to put them over the top, or how Tampa Bay fired Gruden, maybe do Shanahan. But he obviously shown that, like, he can't be part of a rebuilding, can't be part of a rebuild. So
they were also, I mean, they were a playoff team last year, so he's kind of helped unbuild what was a rebuild, too. So
that's true.
I'm going to say ship has sailed. I think he thinks he's smarter than he really is. I think he's living off those two Super Bowls from the late 90s. And, I think it happens to a lot of coaches. I think it's time for him to look to do something different. So we'll see how that shakes down.
But he doesn't look like the type of guy who can do television, so I think he's just
– I don't see him going that direction.
He might look at a front office job, I guess, but, you know.
He thinks he knows talent, so I can see him maybe going for that. I think this week we got to get back into some power rankings. We kind of shot away from that in the last few weeks. I think it's starting to shape up a little bit more. And one team that was in my early power rankings, I think, as far as another interesting team from Sunday, was the Cincinnati Bengals have strung a couple games together, and they're starting to look like a contender again. And, not that I jumped off the bandwagon, but I think the Geno Atkins injury kind of scared me off them, and also Leon Hall, and they had some injuries, but they continue to play well. And I think that's a team where it's a talented team.
Where are they at in your power rankings? 10? Higher?
Oh yeah, definitely higher. I got them top five actually.
Woo-hoo.
You know, I took a step off the bandwagon, but I kept one foot off. So I'm ready to get back on and drive that bus. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, I definitely got them top five. I know you were a guy that had Indianapolis top five, and I think it shows that my early season knowledge was a little better than yours.
I mean,
you know, they ran through them. So.
I didn't think the loss of Reggie Wayne would mean this much to their offense, and their defense has always been kind of what it is now. So I was incorrect on Indianapolis. I can admit that. However, I'm not nearly as high on Cincinnati as you are. I think I still think – Andy Dalton had a good week. But
he's Jekyll and Hyde, but he's a guy that's led his team to the playoffs. This will be three straight years. And, you know, I think there's something to be said for that. I think he's better than average.
I mean, better than average, does that make you the number five team in the NFL?
Who you taking this year? Yeah, I think it does. I mean, name me.
You already named five teams off the top of my head.
Well, no, I don't want to. I mean, I'm sure you can just throw out five teams, but, I mean, you're going to give me New England as part of that, and I think New England is just, they're getting to the point where I don't think they can sustain any more injuries. I mean, you lose your best D tackle, your best linebacker. Your tight end, who they've kind of been 9 days,
right.
He was in and out. I think you're going to see down the stretch, as good as Tom Brady is and as good as Bill Belichick is, I think you're going to see them fall back. And I think that vaults Cincinnati as the second-best team in the AFC. I think Cincinnati can go in, you know, if they're the three seed, I think they can go in at number two, which would be New England, and I think they can win a game on the road.
I don't think they will. I think that stage is too big for Dalton still.
Oh my goodness! All right, well, get your checkbook ready.
I think if you want me to, make, I mean, off the top, my power rankings. Are
give me your top five. Let's just go into power rankings, and then we'll kind of spin around and finish up the.
Well, in no particular order, we'll go.
No, I want them in order, 5-1, if I could.
All right, 5-1. I got the Niners at 5. I would say I still like the. The Saints at 4. New England at 3. Denver at 2. Seattle at 1.
That's where you're wrong. I don't think New England's. I don't think they're top five. And not that they haven't played top five, or not that they haven't shown that. But I think you know, if you do this in week 17, you're going to be the same as me and not have New England in your top
five.
Give me your.
I mean, you're over there talking. Give me your 5-1.
Well, I got to go with my 5-1. I got to go. I think I only have two AFC teams in my top five, and I noticed you only had two as well. And I'm going to go Cincinnati at 5. I'm going to go, reluctantly, I'm going to go Saints at 4. I think the Saints showed me when they went to Seattle. I know that's a tough place to play, and it's just one bad game, but I think they showed me they can't play on the road. And I just don't have them winning. I'm going to put San Fran ahead of them because I think San Fran, ultimately, defense wins in the cold, defense wins in the playoffs. And I think San Fran almost went out there and beat them before. They played them tough. And I think in the playoffs you'll see San Fran with the experience will be able to get past New Orleans. And I got them playing Seattle, which is my number two team in the power rankings. And I'm going to put Denver number one in the power rankings, and that doesn't mean I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. But I think as of right now, I think they're gonna finish out and run the table, finish with the best record in the AFC. I think Seattle losing one more game, and so I think that's how it shakes out.
Cool.
And in playoffs, I got Seattle, San Fran playing for the NFC, and I got Cincinnati and Denver playing for the AFC.
The only place we really differ is Cincinnati and basically Cincinnati and New England. That's really our only.
Yeah, I think things are starting to take shape. I think it's not that we're here prognosticating anything special, because I think most people would agree with what we have, with a little variation. I know we were both out in Carolina. I just don't think they got too many holes. They're a year away. I think they're going to maybe possibly win a playoff game, depending on who they play and where they play. And maybe not. You know, Cam is... I mean, what do you think of Cam? Can he win a road playoff game? This will be his first playoff game.
Yeah. I think he can. I just don't think that team is ready to really make a splash in the playoffs yet. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I think we actually talked about it off air as well. Steve Smith can't be your number one wide receiver at this point in his career. And and have your offense really be what it needs to be. They are a big play receiver away from being a really good offense. So I think if they give Cam a big play receiver, maybe in the draft or through free agency, I think that team will be ready next year, but not this year.
I'm going to go ahead and give you three teams in the AFC and three teams in the NFC. I'm going to tell you to pick one for the sixth season, both on the last team to get in on both sides. The Jets, Miami, and San Diego. Give me one that's getting in.
Can I say none of them?
Well, who are you giving the sixth seed to in the AFC then?
Ravens.
The Ravens are not good. I can't.
They're in the sixth seed right now.
Well, I understand. And they're tied record-wise with Miami.
And they have the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Well, they're going to lose Monday night. So, you want to get the playoffs, aren't it? It's not going today. Okay. Well, that's fine.
Obviously, you like one of those three. So, who do you like?
I like all three. That's why I wanted you to pick one. But I'm going to go. I got to go. I'm not going to Miami. My heart wants to choose San Diego. I'm going San Diego. I think they went out. I said this last week. I think they're going to come from off the map and get in. I think they beat Denver Thursday, upset City, and then they went out at home. So I'm throwing that out there. All right, NFC Cardinals.
You forked them last week, so obviously you feel they're done still, right? Or have you changed your mind on that?
No, I think they're done. The only way they're getting in, I think it's a sad for Cardinals fans to see. I think they could be maybe like the Bears of last year and go 10-6 and not get in.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's
and that's tough.
And
that's
I knew this was
going to
happen, actually. Yeah.
How did that feel last year?
Didn't feel good. They got a coach I really like fired for a coach I really don't like. So, and I know what the league is now, and I hate to I listen to Monday Night Football and Steve Young and Trent Dilfer talking about how much the Bears are better off now. I just don't see it. Like I think you trade one side of the ball for the other. I mean, I guess it makes sense in today's NFL, but I'm not sold on trusting yet.
I don't know that you have as good a record as Lovey's in there, because I don't think Lovey has the pieces on the defensive side that he had last year, and then your offense wouldn't be as good. So I don't think you see the development of Alshon Jeffery. So I think you're careful with the Bears.
I definitely see the development of Alshon Jeffery. I think
he's developing regardless of who's coaching him.
Well, I mean, how much of that is coaching and how much of that is Alshon Jeffery? He's a beast in South Carolina. Like, this is what how do we know this just isn't what he is?
Well, I hear you. Maybe because Jay Cutler's not in there, but it seems like they're scheming to give him the ball a little bit and things like that where, Brandon Marshall was going 11, 12 catches last year, and I understand that is some of his development.
No, really, I think
there's better coaching on the offensive side of the ball regardless. I mean, McCown looks better than Cutler. And,
I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I guess my point is that Lovey's biggest problems were he never hired the right offensive coordinator. He knew he wasn't an offensive guy, and he always hired these guys who he thought would be, a quick fix instead of, building a program. And I think if he had built the program, he probably still would still be there because they do have weapons. However, I just don't think you fire a coach after he goes 10-6 and just barely misses the playoffs. Like, I mean, maybe they felt he had taken that team as far as they can go, but they're going to miss the playoffs again this year. I know I was giving you a hard time earlier in the show, but they're going to miss the playoffs again this year.
So you're giving that division to Green Bay then?
No, I'm giving that division to Detroit.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think you just wanted to hear me say that out loud.
Well, yeah. I did, so.
Real quick, based on how McCown is doing, you have to pony up a lot. Do you pony up the money for Jay Cutler in the offseason, or do you let him walk through the Bears?
I think you guys have. I think you guys need to spread the money around. So I think you let him walk. I think you maybe try to build through the draft. I don't know if McCown's the answer. I can't tell if McCown. He throws. I watched the game last night, and does it look like some of his balls are in the air for a long time?
I think
I don't think he's the answer.
Oh, he's definitely not the answer.
I think if you could get Cutler cheap, but you can't. I mean, you're gonna have to give 6 years, $90 million or something. I mean,
well, let me ask you this: if he's not gonna be your quarterback next year, you bring him back at all this year? Or you just let McCown play it out.
I think you let McCown. What I think you do is I think if the training staff says Cutler's ready to go, I think you give McCown the start. And I think as soon as he as soon as he plays bad, or as soon as, you know, as soon as he puts strings two back-to-back bad quarters together, you come back with Cutler. And I think Pressman came out and already named Cutler the starter if he's ready to go.
Yeah,
so I don't think it matters what I think, but yeah, I would stick with McCown because I don't think there's any reason to let Cutler go back out there. I think the team actually plays better with McCown. Just I don't know, he seems to run that offense well. He throws the backs well. I think he's a better fit for the system. So I think what you do really too, I think you maybe give Cutler one more week because didn't they bring him back too early the time before?
Yeah, and then he looked horrible.
I mean, he's soft mentally, he's soft physically. So I think you got to give him one more week. And then, yeah, I think you let him walk. I think the simple answer is I don't sign him. I'm interested in what do you think?
I don't think they're going to sign him, and I think it's because, like you said, they have –
it's expensive.
It's too expensive, and they have a lot. That team is not close to really being competitive for the Super Bowl. They have a lot of needs on defense. They finally got the offensive line looking good and the receivers and the backs, et cetera. But, like, that defense is horrible. They need linebackers. They need defensive tackles. Charles Tillman is old. They need more corners. I mean, there's so much money that could be spent on that defense that I don't know if you could give up that much of your offseason money to one person. So
I think with as good as you guys are at receiver and running back, I think you can make a quarterback look good that's maybe not great.
Right.
And make a playoff run. So, Cutler's Bears days are numbered.
Well, those two big receivers, and this is what Count is doing, the Cutler wasn't doing, he just puts the ball in the area. He's not throwing dimes. Like, he's putting the ball in the area and letting Marshall and Jeffrey go get it because they're both, and Bennett, I think Jeffrey's the shortest at 6'3", but he jumps the best. Like, that. I don't think, I'm with you, I don't think you need a $20 million quarterback to quarterback that offense right now. So if you can get by with a lower-priced quarterback, you should, and fill a lot of those holes on the defense. So real quick, I want to do this with you. We're talking about coaches. We agree that Shanahan's going. Kubiak already went. Les Frazier, we agree he's going. I'm going to throw some other names at you. You tell me yes or no, they stay or go, all right?
All right.
Stay or go. Mike Smith, stay or go.
Mike Smith staying. He was in the NFC Championship last year. He's staying.
Okay. Greg Schiano, has he saved his job or is he going?
I want him to stay, but he's going.
All right. Schiano's going. Okay. Tom Coughlin, staying or going?
Tom Coughlin's definitely staying. He gets my stamp of approval. He's won 2 Super Bowls there. I think the Giants are a loyal organization. He's not going to have a lot of leeway. He could be one of the first guys to go next year with a bad start, but I think 2 Super Bowls definitely get Tom Coughlin another year.
Jason Garrett, staying or going?
He's gone. He is not coming back. I'll fire him because he's terrible. And I know they have some personnel issues there, but he's terrible. I can't stand him, fire him.
All right. I'm going to just scratch him off.
Everybody's getting a vote of confidence there. He came out and gave Monty Kiffin. That means they're getting fired. So.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you, I don't think the investigation of this Jonathan Martin thing is going to turn anything up. So I think Joe Philbin plays. Rex Ryan, staying or going?
Yeah, and they're playing well, too. Rex Ryan is gone.
All right.
He is gone. He's going to be a great hire as a defensive coordinator, so I think if your team needs a defensive coordinator, give him a call. But he's gone. He's not a bad coach, but I just think from they want to go a different direction because of the GM there.
I agree. I think he's just not the GM's guy, and there's no point in keeping him. Every GM, I think, should probably get the chance to hire his own coach anyway. So I think he's gone.
He had a nice run. He can't coach offense, and he can't hire offensive coordinator. So
yeah, sounds like him and Lovey are the same guy. Mike Munchak. Staying or going?
I talked to you about this off air. I think Munchak is gone, and I don't know. I don't know a lot of Titans. I don't get a lot of Titans news or anything like that. But I think with all the media reports that are out there, I feel like Bud Adams just died, and I think he's gone.
Okay. And what about Dennis Allen with the Raiders? You know,
they're so dysfunctional.
I mean, and they've been kind of that organization has been known to be impatient. Al Davis is gone. Do you think he's still staying, or is Dennis Allen staying or going?
It's not Dennis Allen's fault why they're bad.
It wasn't his fault they were bad. It wasn't Hugh Jackson's fault that team was bad.
No, I know. They ran through the coaches. They're the worst team in the last 10 years. But I'm going to say he stays, and I'm not real confident in that. If he got fired, I would not be shocked.
Okay.
You know, the NFL is. There's going to be a lot of turnover. What about just the only one I'm curious about, what do you think about Shiano? Do you think he's on the way, or you think he's gone? That's a tough one.
That is a tough one because the team's kind of rallied around him and played well these last 4 or 5 weeks. But he was in such a bad way before these last 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know if that was – what did they lose their first 8? Like, I don't know if you can turn that around. So if I had to say, you know, a gun to my head, I would say he's going. Actually, I agree with you on everyone. I agree with you on everyone. All right.
You think David Shaw's going – he's coming to the NFL?
I think he should, and I think he should because
I think he should too.
I think he should. I think
he's never going to be hotter.
And there's only so long you could really be that good at Stanford, like just for the fact that I mean they can only recruit a certain type of athlete, they can only recruit a certain type of student athlete, and it's been kind of shown that you know Ty Willingham, Bill Walsh, Dennis Green, like everybody goes to Stanford when they're hot, get hot, and then they go to the NFL. So I think.
Oh, you could throw Harbaugh in that mix, and Willingham, he didn't go there when he was hot. He got fired at Notre Dame, but
he took a better job from Stanford. Like, he went to, he got the Notre Dame job because he was hot at Stanford, is my point.
Oh, he went from Stanford, and then he went to UW.
Yeah,
okay, you're right.
Notre Dame, so.
You know, a little bad memory there, but I'm back on board. All right, well, hey, let's take a break.
Yeah,
there's callers out there. Give us a call.
The number is 718-766-4553, 718-766-4553. Give us a call after the break. We'll take any call, any question about any subject.
College football when we get back.
When we get back, we're going to do college football, and I will let you listeners in on something that you can look forward to for the next few weeks on the show. So stay with us, and we'll be back.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
What's up, cool world? My name is Serenatus Penn, and I welcome you to my blog review sessions where I interview artistic, ambitious individuals just like you and me who want the world to know about their skills and talents. Check out my site, The Real Profiles of Rising Artistic Icons, at www.famousbynature.blogspot.com for my latest cover features, videos, and photos of my guests and how you can subscribe and join to be the first to know about my next artist on the rise. You never know. You may be my next spotlight guest. Be a part of our future creators at Serenatus Penn Blog Review, where the talent starts and finishes with you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here on All Things Sports. I had some lead-in music planned, but I realize I'm not very tech-savvy, so maybe next week we'll have some good lead-in music to this.
Come on, man. That was a surprise.
No. The surprise is, ladies and gentlemen, you can look forward to every week the new and improved Big Mike C. Miller $100 Challenge. Taking all NFL games against the spread every week. I usually win at these little challenges we have, I just want to say. We've never done all the games every week against the spread, $100 on the line. And when I win, I'm going to have Mr. Miller personally on air in front of all you listeners handing my nice, crisp $100 bill. I don't want 520s. I don't want 10-10s. I don't want any five nice, crisp $100 bill. That's what I want.
Oh, wow. Listen to how bold this guy is. Right? We'll see. We're going to give all the picks to you for free, too. So if you need to go see your bookie or if you're just taking a trip to Las Vegas, go ahead and see my picks because Big Mike, he's going to take San Diego every week and he's going to take all the favorites. So it's real simple to know his picks. He gets me with the three picks a week, but we'll see with doing every game between Will Rice at the top. And we'll see. So yeah, I look forward to any challenge offered by this guy. I'm ready to take.
All right. Hey, be listening for it. I will not be humble. I'm usually very humble when I win. This time I have no plans on being humble. So, crisp $100 bill in my hand. All right, moving on. We're talking college football like we were saying. Not national championships, but the bowls are set. Conference championship games went down this week. I picked Stanford. I was correct. I picked Auburn. I was correct.
And I kind of like Auburn, too. I just did that for the show.
And, although, I will say this, the Ohio State game happened exactly like you said it would. You're right, Braxton Miller, once he got behind, he is not the type of quarterback that will ever bring you back, especially against what was a pretty good defense. So, do you have any early bowl predictions you want to talk about, anything, or you want to wait a few weeks to give our listeners our bowl predictions?
Well, we won't get too in depth. I'm starting to think Auburn may be the team of destiny, but I also like to shy away from that. I've seen the 8.5-point spread, and I think it kind of tells me Florida State might get those guys. So we'll see. I'm not going to give any predictions yet. I'm going to lead the Michigan State over Stanford. I think that's as far as the competition standpoint, that's probably the game I'm, other than the national championship, if I had to pick one game I'm looking most forward to, I would say the Rose Bowl. I think that's a matchup of two teams that are almost the same team, and I think two very good teams.
I like that one.
And I think that's going to be a great matchup, so I look forward to a little New Year's Day matchup there. UNLV got into the bowl. I got to give my guys a shout-out from the time I spent in Las Vegas. And over the last 25 years, I don't ever remember UNLV going to a bowl game. And I'm sure you can check some stats on that and find out when the last time they went. But, my goodness, they have been the laughingstock of college football for years. And I've attended quite a few of their games, and they have put the worst product on the field. And I got to give I can't even pronounce this guy's name. What's his last name? Dave Hock or Oker. I got to give this guy credit because if you can win at UNLV with those facilities I got to give you credit.
I'm with you. I think I told you this before. My dad used to live right down the street from the stadium there. We used to go to UNLV football games, and they were drawing at that time. They were drawing maybe 5,800 people a game, maybe 10,000 at the very most. But like the stadium was empty.
Right. It depends who they're playing because 90% of the fans are going to be for the other
team. Right. The stadium was empty. The only UNLV fans were, you know. I would assume they got there with free tickets. So if you can win there, you're right. You must be a good coach. Was Bruce Snyder there? He could be one there. Bruce Snyder was there for a hot minute, right?
He was there, yeah, he did.
And John Robinson was there for a hot minute. Neither one of those guys could win there. So that is impressive. Let's talk a little bit about the Boise State job. Have they hired a new coach yet?
They have not. I think Chris Peterson probably knows that, too. I don't think that's the best job in the world. I mean, if I'm a high school kid, I'm not trying to go to Boise, Idaho. But I think they've they've recruited really well, and they've had success, and they've had a lot of momentum. And I think I've always thought this. I think once that momentum slows down a little bit, I think it's going to be hard to recreate that magic. So if I'm a coach and I'm a hot coach, I'm not going to Boise.
I'm not going to Boise either. Boise they had what, Hawkins and Cutter before Peterson? Was that was their stepping stone job? Neither one of those guys did anything after they left, but I think Peterson's probably taking that program a little farther than either one of those guys did, so I think he's probably a little bit better coach. But no, that's definitely a job for a young coordinator. They're not gonna get any name recognition with their next coach, so chances are they'll probably just hire from within, I imagine. I told you during the break, I heard Dirk Cutter interviewed for that job. So maybe he'll go back. But other than that, I can't see them luring anybody of name to go to Boise.
And I'm cheering, you know, on the other side of that, them losing Chris Peterson. I'm cheering for Chris Peterson. For whatever reason, I'm a fan just from the things that I've heard about him. I think he got kind of spurned from he wanted the Oregon job, and they never really looked his way.
Yeah,
you know, he turned down quite a few jobs when he was out there and doing the Statue of Liberty and all that and the Fiesta Bowl. And I think he was a hot guy for quite a few years and was able to turn down jobs and was really, I think he had an eye on the Oregon job. And then I think he would have taken that USC job as well, and they kind of let him know he wasn't a candidate. And then they went ahead and took Sark, and then, you know, he goes and replaces Sark at Washington, and I think he's a better coach. So I hope he sticks it to his Pac-12 competition. And so he'll be a guy I'm really rooting for. I think he can recruit. I think Seattle's a great area to recruit. I think there's a lot of football players up there. And then, you know, they kind of live in California like the rest of the Pac-12. So, but, you know, it'll be interesting with the little coaching carousel that we've seen in the Pac-12. I'm already excited for next year being a Pac-12 guy, you know, and bringing Peterson into the Pac-12. I think it's going to be great. I think the Pac-12, I mean, you know, we're not paying the closest attention to, but I think, you know, the guy here out in Arizona State is hot. There's a lot of good coaches. Jim Moore's a hot name. So I think the Pac-12 is really, in the last 2 years, you know, they've really improved. And I think it's starting to be, dare I say, the second best league in the country. Unless you have an argument that they're sway me. I agree. The Big Ten, the Big 12, and the ACC, definitely, I don't think they can take the pack right now.
Conference is any good. I heard today Mack Brown supposedly stepping down as head coach of Texas.
And I don't know that that's been substantiated, but, yeah, I think the writing's on the wall.
If he does, the new AD there is Steve Patterson, old AD from ASU. I know they have provisions in the contract that he can't nab any ASU coaches, but there's ways around that.
Yeah, it's called money.
And Graham could just resign and, you know, from ASU, and then he's not an ASU coach. So, is Graham going to Texas?
Nah, Texas is too big for Graham. I know he's got some ties out there. What was he doing, high school out there?
Yeah.
I can't see that. They've got to make a splash. If you're going to, you know, at Texas, you've had a couple down years. You're firing a coach who's won a national championship. I don't think Ty Graham makes the national splash that Texas needs.
I agree.
I think, you know, the local guys out here, you know, if you're listening to the show for the first time, we're coming to you live from Phoenix. And I think a lot of the local people are worried about that, and that's a lot of the talk here on local radio. But I just don't see it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I don't see it.
Gotcha. All right. Real quick, and then we'll shift gears. Heisman this week. We obviously know Jameis Winston is probably going to win it. Is anyone else you can even make a case for?
No.
No?
Simply put, no. There's really not. I don't think Manziel put up. I think Trey Mason got in too late. I don't think the guy from BC is better than who's my guy for Arizona?
Carey?
Yeah, Kadeem Carey. I don't even think he's better than Kadeem Carey.
He's not.
Jordan Lynch is a fraud. Utah State beat him in the bowl game. I know that's your Northern Illinois guy, but yeah, everybody. the six finalists, I don't see anyone that stands any chance, really. And I know he's had some negative pub, but he was by far and away the best. I think if you go to HeismanOdds.com or whatever it is, he's like a 30-1 favorite.
Right.
And I'm not giving anybody a chance. That Heisman is done.
Real quick,
I won't be tuned in. I already know who won.
Not that this is important, or not that this is relevant now, but. How bad is the state attorney and the police departments in Florida botch that investigation? Jeez, like, you basically talk the woman into not testifying. Then when she comes out, like, and then the speeches that the state attorney gave and Winston's attorney gave, basically, I mean, I don't have a daughter. I have sisters, so I guess I could kind of relate. But, like, basically, they kind of said in a not-so-nice way that, like, don't, you know, unless you 100% get a conviction, like, and you're a woman, don't say anything. Like, I mean, obviously she felt she was violated in some way. Or maybe she was just trying to, you know, she would probably file a civil suit. Maybe that's what she was after in the first place. But I just think if the investigation would have been handled differently. not necessarily that he might have still been vindicated, but there's just too many questions behind that now.
Well, and there was, and I think there was some memory loss on her part and some different things where, I mean, I do understand where they were coming from. You know, as someone that sat on a jury before, the county attorney has to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I think with just the things that were surrounding that case, I do, not that I'm siding either way, but I just think that it would have been a hard case to prove.
It would have been, especially when you wait 8 months to bring it up. Or
right, and I don't know. I'm not on the inside on that. I've heard on these reports and different channels like ESPN that she was told not to testify or whatever to bring the charges against them. But also, I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard that from her. I can't buy into that. So I'll go with what I was told. There just wasn't enough evidence. And I'm with you. I don't even know that there would be a civil suit. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I wouldn't be surprised if a payment's already been made or it's already been negotiated.
Yeah,
where,
I agree.
They're never going to allow her to talk about that, even if it was.
Right.
You know, she's probably getting paid off that regardless, and not that that makes it okay or not okay. Or, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a payment's already been made.
Okay. A couple quick baseball notes before we go into our next break. Robinson Cano, 10 years, $240 million. Worth it or not worth it?
Not worth it. He's a second baseman. It's not worth it.
And I don't think he makes a miracle.
No, nobody's worth that. I don't know who's the best in the game right now.
Let me put it a different way.
Not worth it.
I don't think he makes the Mariners that much better. Just him alone. So
does he even make the Mariners that much money? I mean, is he of course Seattle Mariner fans are buying jerseys and different things like that, but I don't know. Is he a national? He's not even a national draw.
Yeah, he won't. Well, and the reason the Yankees were so – I heard this. I don't know if it's true. They said the only reason the Yankees were so eager to let him go is because all of their superstars, Teixeira, Granderson, A-Rod, et cetera, Jeter, were all out this year. And the only superstar they had in the lineup every day was Cano, and they couldn't draw. Because he's not worth – he's not that guy you come to see. Like, he's not – you know, I think me and you have done this before. Like, oh, shit. Excuse my language, Pujols is in town, I'll go to that game. Or, oh, man, I can't think of any names. But you know what I'm saying? There's Mike Trout's in town, I'll go
right,
to that
yeah,
game.
If Miguel Cabrera's in town, I'm going to go see that.
Right.
Yeah.
Cano doesn't – I've never thought that at any point in time that Cano's in town. I thought Jeter's in town, I'll go. But I've never thought of Cano as that kind of dude. So, no, I don't think – you're right. He doesn't. Not only does he not make the Mariners any better, he's not even that big of a draw.
And here's what's stupid to me. All reports I've heard was that the Yankees were at 9 years, $75 million, I think. And then the next bid is, or was it 8 years, $75 million?
Somewhere, yeah.
And the next bid is 10 years at $240 million. Why would you jump? What is that? 20? Why would you jump $65 million? Who are they bidding against? I think they misnegotiated that.
Maybe Jay-Z was telling something different than was really going down.
I don't know. Yeah, they didn't do their homework there because, honestly, when that negotiation started, I didn't think he was getting anywhere close to $24 million.
And in that market, now they can't afford anyone else. Who are they going to get? Who else are they going to pay? I heard they might be in a David Price sweepstakes, but they can't keep him beyond this year if they do get in. So what's the point? Like, and they're not going to be able to win this year. So I think that was a bad contract. Jacoby Ellsbury. Barry, is that a bad contract? 7 years, $153 million to the Yankees?
It's a good contract for him. That's a bad contract. He's not worth it. I mean, he's not a power guy. He's a base dealer. Yeah, you can't pay $151 for seven to Jacoby Ellsbury.
And
baseball teams just hand money out of. It's hard. I mean, it's hard for somebody that works a regular job to say any of these contracts are worth it, honestly. But, you know, some of these guys that you see getting 2 and 3 year deals, those are the
best. I don't know who the outfield is going to be, but if it's Ellsbury, Gardner, and Ichiro, who's hitting home runs in that outfield? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody. And then, I mean, I guess that's a good defensive outfield. But
that is a good defensive outfield.
Actually, though, I think Beltran's going to probably take advantage of
that. That's right, Beltran. They did decide Beltran.
Yeah, so I think I've heard Gardner might be trade bait, maybe to bring in some pitching. So Yeah, you got Bell training with the short porch, so I think that'll help a little bit.
Yankees also signed McCann for $85 million. Like,
then what, is Teixeira due back healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're better than they were last year. They've improved their team. I mean, Ellsbury's going to get on base. We'll see how they pitch. I mean, they improved their team. They just spent a lot to do it, and that's what the Yankees do.
I
can't argue. I mean, what? They've made the playoffs. They've made the playoffs 15 straight years. So, I mean, obviously Cashman knows what he's doing regardless.
Well,
of
I just thought that everything I'd heard, the young Steinbrenners were not going to spend like Dad did, and now they're spending like Dad did. So, anyway, you Yankees and Dodgers are going to have two highest payrolls, and neither one I'm going to make through the World Series. I'm saying right now.
You're putting that out there now, huh?
Putting it out there right now.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if the Dodgers, I mean, if we happen to land Price, it could be lights out.
If you land Price, it could be. But.
But I have, man. Don't bring me back to postseason baseball because, you know, we deserve better than Hanley Ramirez getting hit in the ribs like that.
I don't even know what to say, but I was.
Real quick, before we finish up on baseball, did you see the trade your White Sox made today?
Yeah, Adam Eaton.
You gave up Hector Sanchez straight across. What's your?
I like Santiago.
To?
I understand why.
Oh, yeah, Santiago.
I like Santiago. I understand why they got rid of him. I knew they would trade either him or Quintana. They're both lefties. They're both the same age. And if you have to trade one, Quintana has the better stuff. I don't know if I'm ready to say Adam. I mean, I've seen him a few times, but is he really? I mean, I don't know if he's our center fielder of the future, though. I guess it's good for Santiago. He gets to pitch with the Angels needed pitching. I think it's good for the I don't know where they're going to put Trumbo. I imagine they're going to put Trumbo on the outfield with the D-backs.
Yeah, he's going to play outfield.
And he'll bat behind Goldschmidt, so that makes them better. I just feel like everyone in that trade got better but the White Sox.
Well, obviously they do see Adam Eaton as the center fielder of the future because he's going to be there, you know, at least 1 year, and then, you know, if he proves himself longer. So he's comparable to Ellsbury, really. I mean, he's the same type of player, not that he's as good as Ellsbury, but he hit, I don't know if you're familiar, he hit the cover off the ball in the minor leagues for years.
Yeah.
He's only 25, I heard today. So, I don't know. I mean,
that's a wait-and-see type trade.
Right.
That's
really all he gave up was a poor starter, so. I actually like the trade for the White Sox. Kind of like you said, I think everybody kind of got better. I think the only argument would just be, I know the D-backs got the biggest name, but I think maybe the only thing you could argue is they got worse because they gave up Skaggs and Eaton, which are two, you know, 20-somethings that are, you know, I mean, it's high risk, high reward. They haven't really shown to be great, but they were both great in the minor league.
If you want to look at it this way, defensively, the Diamondbacks probably got a little worse because if you want to put Trumbo on the outfield every day, he's not an everyday outfielder. So
right, you can't DH him. I know he DHs a lot. He DHs a lot for Anaheim, so
right.
You can't DH him in the NL. But he can play. He can play both corner spots too.
Yeah, he can play third.
Yeah. So.
Don't you got who's the guy you got for Upton in the end third?
I didn't get anybody for Upton because I am not.
The guy they got for Upton, I can't think of his name right now, but I know he's playing third.
Oh, Parra.
Not Parra. The other.
Prado. Martin.
Yeah,
he's playing third, so.
They
got to
put some on the outfield, I would imagine.
They got a lot of the same guys. They're going to be the same team they were last year. Yeah. They need pitching, and they traded pitching, so
yeah,
who knows what they're thinking.
All right, well, we're not really having enough time to take a break. We're going to go right into our, like I said, only an hour today. Usually we're an hour and a half. Today we're only an hour. So, Mr. Miller, you usually go first. Let's give us your rant and what you're ranting on this week.
You can put me on the line first, huh?
I go first. I mean.
Yeah, let me let you lead off today, just because you know, I'm feeling it's December and it's Christmas season. I'm in a giving mood and just ready to hear what you have to say.
My rant this week is we kind of touched on it earlier. My rant actually is about the Heisman. I think just like every other, you know, and you, I know what you're going to say when I'm done, but just like every other award in the world, when it comes to football, it's become a quarterback award. Is Jameis Winston really the best player in college football? He's the best quarterback in college football. he's not necessarily the best player in college football. Last year, the year Ndamukong Suh came out, he was by far the best player in college football. Didn't win the award. Happens every year. Like it used to be where running backs had a shot and receivers had a shot and defensive players didn't have a shot. Now I feel like running backs and receivers don't even have a shot. It's quarterback award. And every quarterback, I think, that's won it or has a chance to win it, with the exception of Cam, aren't really necessarily good pros and won't be good pros. Johnny Manziel won't be a good pro. And I'm not even sure Jameis Winston be a good pro. He's too small. And, hell, excuse my language again, he's squinting to see the signals on the sidelines. They got a quarterback that can't see. I'm not sold on either one of those guys. And I'm not sold on the Heisman. I won't be watching. I haven't watched in years, and I won't watch it in the years to come. Mr. Miller.
Did you say who the best player in college football was this year? I mean, if you just had to give an award, not the Heisman, but who was the best player in college football?
Who was the best player in college football? But, like, that Mike Adams for Texas A&M? Never see. And I heard this argument. In a lot of cases, like last year, the best players in college football were offensive linemen. There were so many good offensive linemen, but of course they can't win. But I like Mike Adams. I think that big body receiver, I know the Bears don't need him, but depending on how fast he runs the combine, I think he might be the best player in college football. It's not Jameis Winston.
Hey, it's your land. It's your world. I disagree. I think Winston was the best this year. I mean,
I like the running back from Auburn. I actually like the running back from Boston College.
I'm not saying NFL prospect, but I'm saying best player this year. It's hard to argue against Winston. He's undefeated. He led his team. He didn't turn the ball over. All he did was swing to the sidelines, and he didn't like that. So.
Well, no, I think that it's become, not only is it becoming, and I didn't say this, but I'll say it now, not only becoming a quarterback award, but, like, it's the quarterback on the best team award.
And I'm getting sick of that. I agree.
Like, it's not always the quarterback. Like, they're trying to basically shove A.J. McCarron down our throat because he's on possibly the second best team award. He's not even close to being the best player in college football. He shouldn't even be invited to New York, and yet he is, because he's a quarterback on a good football team. That's what the Heisman has become.
I agree. And Kadeem Carey should be there for, you know, just as a parting shot. But I'm going to go into my rant. My rant involves the Oregon Ducks. I'm getting sick of the Oregon Ducks. I know maybe it's the fandom uniforms that they wear and the different uniforms they wear and the pink and the green. And the, I'm sick of the Oregon Ducks. They've had so many people get kicked off. The kids that are going there, I think, are just the, you know, they're the guys. They all got Twitter accounts. I'm tired of this guy, Josh Huff. I don't wish him well in the league. I don't think – a lot of these guys aren't even great players. You know, I kind of was off the bandwagon early in the season. I think a lot of them are built on Nike hype. I know that they can recruit and they get guys, but I think once they get there, they're acting like dicks. You've seen the snowball thing, and I didn't have a big deal. You know, that's not a big deal. I think that's, you know, that's kids having fun. You got to remember these guys are kids. But at the same time, I mean, what are they doing? You're picking out 70-year-old men. You're dancing in front of the cars. Come on. I mean, you're not seeing that at other universities. There's multiple problems. They had a tight end. You got your top tight end who quits the team to get ready for the NFL draft midseason of the college season. I mean, who do you guys think they are? They're a bunch of prima donnas. And I think, a person I used to cheer for Oregon, I heard a tweet this year about how their fans are the quickest to turn on them, and they're talking shit in their own stadium the first time that they fall down and don't have a lead. And I just don't think they're not ever going to be a college power, even with all that money. I don't ever see them being. I don't even see them being a USC. And I hope their dominance comes to an end. I mean, not that they've been dominant, because they haven't won a national championship, but I guess that's my point. Is I don't see Oregon winning the national championship. There's too much money out there. There's too much stuff going on. There's too many immature kids, and there's too many people that want to get new shoes and then not play football. So no national championships for Oregon.
All right. I like that. You're right. All right. We're over time. Like I said, we'll be back next week. We can do an hour and a half. Me and Mr. Miller, we can do this all day. So try to get some callers next week if you're listening to the live show. I put out some ads on Facebook. I'm also when I get a little more tech savvy, I'm going to come over with a personal page. So if you're out there, you're listening, tell your friends. Let's get this thing going. All Things Sports, Big Mike, C. Miller. We're out.
Signing off.
Have a good week.
Nah, we went.